Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 102. My name is John. And I get sick when I'm around. I can't stand to be around. I hate everything about you. You are a horrible person. And I'm going to prove it to you. Sure, you're driving in your car or walking down the street or sitting in your living room listening to this thinking you're one of the good guys. You're a productive member of society. You help others when and where you're able. Maybe you even go above and beyond the call of duty. Your moral compass shows that you live a good life. You probably make sure your taxes are paid and try to stay out of really serious debt. Who's this podcast asshole to tell me I'm a bad person? Hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just going to repeat what I hear and read you folks out there tell each other and me. I hear it from all you collectivists. I hear it from you left-leaning collectivists, the neoliberals, the socialists, the communists. I hear it from you right-leaning collectivists, the neoconservatives, the corporatists, the imperialists. I hear it from all of you burgeoning fascists, ready to take the next step in your indoctrination and be fully baptized into your selected ideology. I hear it from the talking heads and pundits on the news channels. I hear it from the celebrities in their activism and their not-so-cleverly hidden messages in their TV shows and movies. I hear it from people all over social media. Last month, I used the term compassionistas. When I first thought of it, I hadn't hoped I was clever enough to coin it, but it's been used elsewhere in different contexts. Here's what I mean when I use it. Compassionistas are supercilious people who look down upon you if you don't completely agree with and support their morality. Their cause is so important that you are expected to drop everything and support them. Compassionistas care about their cause so much, they are willing to force you to conform to their way of thinking. Think of the people in the old Seinfeld episode that mobbed Kramer for not wearing an AIDS ribbon. People like that. And there's a lot more ribbons out there today, literally and figuratively. No, this podcast is not about civil disagreements. This is not about politely, or even begrudgingly, saying, let's agree to disagree. This is about browbeating until you capitulate to their moral demands. They'll use any tactic they can think of to force you to conform. They'll try to use their vote to pass legislation that criminalizes your natural rights. They'll demonize and dehumanize anyone who opposes their morality to turn people against you. They'll call for you to be jailed if you don't agree with them. If you're employed, they'll try to take away your job. If you own a business, they'll try to take that away. They'll pontificate all over social media so everyone else will know how pious they are for not only believing as they do, but for berating anyone else who disagrees. In the real world, you may be snubbed for not falling into lockstep with their beliefs, or worse, they may get in your face to berate you and create an altercation. Pick a topic, any topic, and see how uncivil the discourse has become. How about immigrant children and open borders? If you don't want completely open borders in this country, then you're a racist, and you hate poor people. You know, of all the libertarian positions, open borders is the one I've probably struggled with the most. I'm still not entirely sure of the expectations on this. I mean, when I think of this nation built by immigrants, I think of boatloads of people coming into Ellis Island. But that's people coming into the country via the proper channels. So those must not be the immigrants everybody is talking about. Look, I've said this a lot recently, so I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Our current immigration law is bullshit. This country's immigration laws should be so fucking easy to get in that there should be no one needing to sneak in illegally. But if you reform immigration laws, it starts a domino effect of necessary reform to other laws, which threaten the domination and control of the political parties over our lives. The Democrats only care about immigrants because they can turn them into voters that will advance their socialist agenda. The Republicans only care about the immigrants who are smart and talented enough to make a lot of money so they can pay taxes to advance the Republicans' imperialist agenda. Neither party really gives a fuck about immigrants. I think America should be a house party. I think anybody who wants to come and pursue their happiness should come in. I think getting in should be easy, but I still don't think it's wrong to ask people to come in through the front door. And I don't think it's wrong to ask them not to break anything in the place once they're here. Hell, hand them a copy of the Declaration of Independence and a copy of the Constitution, preferably after at least repealing the 16th Amendment. Tell them that these are the House rules and let them go on their merry way. That's it. But what about the children? Well, again, that's a horrible policy that needs to change. I mean, what kind of political party would vote for a president who would separate a child from his family at gunpoint? Elian Gonzalez. In the meantime, when someone cries, "Won't someone think of the children?" I found what they really mean is, "I won't do anything, but you should." It's a lot easier to open your mouth than it is to open your doors. What about the environment? If you don't believe in the settled science of climate change, then you're an absolute idiot. You're a backwards, ignorant buffoon. We should round up people like you and put you in jail. I read recently how someone compared non-climate change believers to a person who is told by 99 doctors they have cancer, but believe the one doctor who says they don't. Not entirely accurate. What the analogy should be is 97 doctors whose careers rely on them convincing you that you have cancer and that you brought it on yourself by the way you live your life. When you point out to them that they are living their lives even more extremely than you are, they tell you to shut up and do as they say. Meanwhile, three doctors who believe in proper diagnosis rather than saying what they are paid to say have to fight the other 97 just to have their voices heard, and they often lose. So, when people who merely have questions about climate change data lose their jobs, while climate change champions leave a carbon footprint that would make Godzilla look like Princess Tiny Feet, and you have legitimate theories like Pacific Decadal Oscillation and increased sun activity, and scientific findings such as relative temperature fluctuations on Mars, and far greater extreme temperatures, both hot and cold, throughout the history of the planet, well, I'm gonna remain agnostic. You don't like that? tough shit. Gun control legislation. You don't have to have a big scary gun that shoots lots of bullets really fast. If you disagree with me, then you're just as bad as those people who shoot up schools and movie theaters and concerts and nightclubs. You want those people to die. You are complicit in their deaths if you think those big scary guns that shoot lots of bullets should be allowed in this country. If you're a member of a group that supports gun rights, then you're just a Nazi who wants people to die. God damn, Rhino. Hyperbole much? No, actually, not hyperbole at all. Again, I'm just stating what I've heard from other people. Some of that I've heard from people I know personally. That's why I've hit right back, throwing blame at those who advocate for putting people in defenseless situations. If you're gonna say shit like that about me, I think you need to know how that feels. Really, the only people to blame are those who pull the trigger to murder others. That's it. I'm not, have never been, nor will I ever be, a member of the NRA. I don't own a big, scary-looking gun that shoots lots of bullets really fast. Nor do I have any plans to own one for the rest of my life. That does not change my position on the right of others to defend themselves however they see fit from any perceived threat. If they want a big, scary-looking gun that shoots lots of bullets really fast, I'm not going to stand in their way. And I'm not going to apologize for that. If you cannot accept the fact that there are vastly more responsible people who believe in owning big, scary guns that shoot lots of bullets really fast, but would never use them to harm others, then that alerts me more to what you are capable of than them. How about this? Anything the president does, if you don't completely support the president, then you're un-American. If you disagree with the president and you openly proclaim you hope he fails, then you're un-American. Now, I hope you noticed I did not mention a specific name of the president. That's because I heard the same tripe from the left under the Obama regime as I hear now from the right under the Trump regime. The only difference was, if you didn't support Obama for any reason, you were also a racist. I'm on record in this podcast disagreeing with both of them. I believe in all rights for all people all the time, not just the rights that I agree with. Trump is a corporatist. Obama is a socialist. The best either of their philosophies can do for the type of freedom I believe in is half-assed. The philosophies of their political parties purposely benefit their privileged supporters while denying rights to others. So no, I do not support this president. I did not support the previous president. Once I experienced the epiphany of true freedom, I can never go back to the hypocrisy. Well, we're going to love this one. Standing for the national anthem. If you don't stand up for the Star-Spangled Banner, you're not a true American. You're disrespecting the brave soldiers who sacrificed their lives for your freedom. At what point does tradition lose its meaning? At what point are you participating in a tradition because you value it or because you've been programmed to do it. Ask Gina. Ask her what my least favorite holiday is. You know what? She's right here. I'll ask her. Hey, Gina.
Yeah?
What's my least favorite holiday?
Valentine's Day.
And why is that?
Because you don't need a specific day to tell me how much you love me.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
She says that because that's what I've been saying for 20 years. It's a stupid, useless tradition. Why do we do it? Because we are inundated with manufactured messages that tell us that we have to do it, or we're bad people. I'd rather give my wife flowers in June when she doesn't expect it. I'd rather leave a card on her pillow in August to remind her I love her. What else do you do? What else do we do? Because it's tradition. What else do you do because you've been programmed through manufactured messages to either do it or be labeled as a bad person? Listen carefully to this next sentence. As Paul Harvey used to say, listen with both ears. Playing the national anthem before a sporting event is a dumb tradition. I did not say playing the national anthem is dumb. I did not say standing for the anthem is dumb. I said that playing it before every fucking sporting event, from the World Series to a middle school basketball game, is dumb. What is lost if we remove the national anthem before every sporting event? Are you less patriotic if you don't stand up for a song before kickoff? And if it's so goddamn sacred, then why are people cheering and clapping and making noise before the song ends? At what point does patriotism become jingoism? This all started with Colin Kaepernick's protest to bring attention to the violence against minorities by white police officers. Now, we could get lost in the weeds poring over all kinds of raw data that may or may not support the stated goal of the protest. I'm not going to get into that right now. I have to ask, is it working? Is the protest working? I'd be tickled pink if people would have a serious awakening to the police state that this country is becoming. And the stated goal of the NFL players' protest is part of that. I'd love for people to wake up to the realization that the police, of any race, have too much power over the civilians of any race. If that requires the discussion to start specifically about white police having too much power over minority civilians, then so be it. But is any of that happening? Sure, there was a little discussion at the beginning, but the police state continues to grow. As of right now, the discussion has been successfully shifted to respect for the anthem. And it looks like it's going to be a losing battle. Why? Well, only a tiny fraction of people will know or remember this. But when Kaepernick first protested prior to the 2016 presidential election, he stated publicly that he disliked both Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton because he considered both of them to be racist. Now, imagine if Hillary had been elected and Kaepernick continued his protest because there was a racist in the White House, who do you think would be on his side? In that alternate timeline, you know the Republicans would be championing the protests, and the Democrats would have turned against him. And that is why this protest will fail, because it has devolved to yet another Republicans versus Democrats debate, rather than what it should be, a demand for natural rights. After all that, I still say supporting a person's right to free speech and free expression is far more patriotic than standing up while a song is played. And let's be honest, if we were following the Constitution of the United States in this country and following the non-aggression principle like we're supposed to, we wouldn't have so many soldiers dying. Maybe the best way to respect them is by only sending them to fight battles after Congress has properly declared war. Oh, here's an oldie but goodie. Gay marriage. If you don't support gay marriage, you're a homophobic bigot. What if, and stay with me here, because I know there may be some people who need time to wrap their heads around such a foreign concept. What if you could respect the way other people live their lives while not agreeing with how they live their lives? I came out as bisexual to my mom, who raised me as a fundamentalist Christian. If you follow the accepted narrative in society, that would mean she disowned me and disavowed my existence. In reality, she hugged me, she told me she loves me, and always will. Her morality does not support how I live my life, but she loves me and respects my choice. I know the experiences of others coming out to their parents aren't the same as mine. I know I got lucky. I tell my story so you understand that not agreeing with someone's lifestyle does not automatically make you a hateful person. And yes, I've heard firsthand the hateful comments of the self-pious Christians. But citing the sins of others does not make your cause righteous. Do you see how that works on both sides? A gay man once berated me online because I'm also openly non-monogamous. You'd think as a gay man, he'd be more tolerant of alternative lifestyles. He says, "I don't help the cause." Bullshit. It's not the cause. It's your cause. I'm not here to live my life for your cause. I'm not here to sacrifice my pursuit of happiness for your cause. Tell the ironic truth. You want me to change my life to conform to your version of morality. You're no different than the right-wing Christian telling you to pray the gay away. Hell, I openly admit, I used to not support gay rights, and it had nothing to do with growing up as a fundamentalist Christian. I didn't support gay rights because there's a faction in the gay movement who refuse to accept bisexual men like me exist. Why should I support a movement that allows such bigotry? More than once I heard, "You're just going through a phase. You'll be completely gay soon." I hope you all get that irony as well. That ignorant mindset has diminished quite a bit over the last decade, but it's still out there. But I decided I had to support everyone's natural rights, even support that was not returned to me. If I was to be a true champion of freedom, I had to support natural rights for everyone. If I say I am for liberty, I cannot limit the support of natural rights to only those I believe in, and deny natural rights to others that are inconvenient to me. How about this one? I don't care if you're making a joke. I don't care if it was something you said a decade ago. I don't care if it was something you said callously in your youth that you regret. If you've ever said anything derogatory about a perceived minority, even in jest, you are evil, and I hope you get cancer and die. We've had people protest a fast food chain because an executive personally disagreed with homosexuality. We've had a CEO lose his job because he quoted someone else using a racial slur. We've had an all-star baseball player put under a microscope for ignorant tweets he posted as a teenager. All of these and more were championed by high and mighty crusaders who will nitpick and force their context on any nuance in the speech and actions of their enemies. And they will use every avenue at their disposal to cry foul in an effort to destroy reputations and income. So what happens when someone points out that one of these crusaders, who works for a company that specializes in children and family entertainment, years ago made really crass jokes about rape and pedophilia? And then that crusader loses his job because of those comments. Well, that's a travesty of justice. People losing their income and reputations is only correct if it happens to our enemies. If one of our own does it, then you just need to be more understanding. I believe you have the right to say anything you want, and to hell with anyone who's offended, even if I'm the one offended. The only person who should censor you is you. That's what free speech and freedom of expression is all about. I also believe that an employer has the right to decide how employees should speak and behave in the workplace. If you don't like the rules an employer has for your speech and behavior, then find another job. This constant walk on eggshells has long been out of control. The left created this hypersensitivity, and now the right has chosen to adopt and perpetuate it. Both sides now share in the blame. Both sides are responsible. So this is a message to all you left-wingers and right-wingers. If you think what happened to Papa John is wrong, or if you think what happened to James Gunn was unjust, and you want to know who's to blame, look in the goddamn mirror. This is what America has become. Speaking your mind, exercising your right to believe what you want, even asking questions in an attempt to understand, is treated like an act of evil. You have a better chance of beating the old Atari 2600 ET video game than avoiding the wrath of the compassionistas. Everything you do, say, or are perceived to think must be perfect. And yes, even if you do everything they demand, if you have even the slightest deviation where you say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, or have anything in your past that could be questioned, they will use it against you if you fall out of line or fall out of favor. They will circle you until you show fear, and then they will attack like sharks. No, not sharks. Not lions, not hyenas, not jackals. Something far worse than any predator or scavenger. You see, predators and scavengers will let you die. But these warriors of justice social and defenders of values traditional, they will take away your livelihood. They will terrify anyone who may be sympathetic to you. They will rip away from you exactly as much as they need to leave you bleeding and broken, but will keep you alive to slowly suffer and rot away. The culture of the United States has devolved. It was never perfect. It was never ideal. But there was a clear struggle to get better. It wasn't as fast as it could have been, or probably should have been. But that's nothing any of us can change. We can't change the past. But if we only focus on the shortcomings and fail to acknowledge the full truth of the strides that are made, we will continue to slide back, just like every other society has that's risen to world power status. The culture is that all are created equal, not given special status or privileges because of race, gender, or wealth. The culture is that inalienable rights are respected and wielded by all, not taken away at the whim of the loud and fearful. The culture is that this nation is to be a beacon of hope in the world, not the angry knight lumbering across the planet looking for dragons to slay. The culture is to open the nation to the tired, poor, and huddled masses yearning to be free, not only to those who will benefit our political party or financial situation. I get it. You moral crusaders on both the right and the left are just doing what you're told. You hear your politicians. You hear your talking heads in the parts of the media that support your point of view. You hear your commentators build their animated speeches to a crescendo of righteous fervor. And you believe. You devour it like your favorite food on your birthday. Sated and comfortable in your little bubbles of belief, you're enabled and programmed to go out and burst other people's bubbles with your pointy little pins of misery. Tweet a little hatred and stick your pin in somebody's bubble. So they post a little anger and stick their pin in your bubble. Poke, 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 pop, pop, pop. And soon the world is just filled with a bunch of little pricks. So really, who am I to say that you are a horrible person? Who am I to say you should live your life as you see fit? If you want to be a socialist, get with your socialist buddies and be socialist. If you want to be a fundamentalist Christian, then get with your fundamentalist Christian buddies and be fundamentalist Christians. What right do I have to say to each person that you should be who you want to be, but don't force your morality on others? Just because you like being a socialist or a fundamentalist Christian, don't try to force me to be one. Why can't I be more like you and demand everyone else conform to my way of thinking? A few seconds from now, after all this is over, you'll indignantly delete it and go right back to those talking heads and pundits and celebrities who say only the things you believe in. They'll set things straight for you, get you back in the right frame of mind, unquestioning and unyielding. They'll justify your hatred for people who dare to believe different from you, and soon you'll forget all about that idiot who had the audacity to question your tactics in his podcast. The deviants, the un-Americans, the hate mongers, they're all those on the other side, and they deserve what they get. Go ahead. Keep thinking that. Keep listening to your selected voices that enable you. Keep thinking there's no way anyone could consider you a horrible person. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.